today on Real Radio.
Just because there's evil perpetrated upon man to man in violence or death or mayhem doesn't exclude or remove the existence of God. It actually answers the very truth of the Bible. The world's so messed up because man has departed from God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 2C continues in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. Our God rules and reigns, and yielding to Him leads to an amazing life. What the world views as fantastic, the Christian sees as a normal life of joy and peace in Christ. We cannot just be spectator Christians, though. All of God's good gifts are waiting for us if we just put our trust in Him. We need to let His truth permeate our minds and become part of us in order to influence how we behave. The key to having control over our emotions is to meditate on the promises of God. If He can govern the heavens, He can govern our lives. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that many have departed from God because they aren't practicing purity in their lives. We, as true believers, need to run away from anything that is questionable by running towards that which is pure, lovely, and good. And now continuing his lesson called How to Have the Peace of God When, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So church, grab your Bibles to where you know, that is Philippians 4, and we have come to this place that is somewhat of a little mini series of thought and of meditation, verses 5 through 9, and we're looking at a message entitled How to Have the Peace of God When, and today as we continue on, when we are dealing with ourselves and our Christianity. And I love the challenge of that because the whole concept of what God, the whole logos of God, the Word of God to us, is not religion. God did not ever invite us to sign up for some regiment. He never invited us to partake of some program or even some form of analytics, that we just go through these things and answer the questions and do the certain movements and get the token. And so now we are approved. Robotics is not in God's nature. But love, relationship, communication, interaction, and interactive life is what God's called us to as believers. And I find it interesting that technology today is on the move to bring you the most, real life virtual experience possible. Now remember, if you roll back the hands of time, life itself was interactive and virtual and tangible. You could touch it. And then we pulled back into this artificial world and we've made things and we've computer designed things. And now we watch even on the big screen and we don't know what's true or false on film, right? Because fake has become so real by our observation. But to attempt those things could cost you your life because they're not real. Listen, Batman jumps off of a building or Spider-Man scales one. And you may grow up thinking you can do that because it looks so real, but it's all fake. And now we've come to what, for the Christian life, should be the absolute day in, day out, remarkable life being lived by the believer that our God rules and reigns. He governs over the universe. His Holy Spirit possesses the life of the believer. And what the world is trying to do and make as fantastic should be the norm for Christian life. If we will just yield ourselves to what God wants to do, you and I should be living the most exciting lives that anybody could live, even without a computer, because we've got the Holy Spirit. So Paul says in verse 5 to the church at Philippi, as you well know, as we've been studying this, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard. We learned last week, garrison, a Roman troop, will protect your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. What a statement. And the God of peace will be with you. As we begin to go now to the finishing push to this message, we've seen thus far in our study about how to have the peace of God when, we saw in verses 5-7, when it's me we're talking about. When it's me we're talking about, when it's you we're talking about. And we saw two key things that we cry out to God who's promised to help us in our distresses, and that anxiety ought not to describe our lives, that a Christian should not be someone who entertains worry. We fight against worry. We reject worry. It's no longer characterizing or making demands upon our life, because by God's Spirit and God's promises in His Word, we fight and resist anxiety. So God, we would pray, deliver me, deliver us from our distress. And then in verse 7, we saw that it's a prayer last time together. We prayed this, that God, would you open up the eyes of my heart, that true sight for the Christian is not with our naked eyes, it's with a heart that has been made by the Spirit of God. And then we just cracked open our second argument, and we'll go through this and finish it off today. And it's found in verse 8. How do we have the peace of God in this life when it's my mind, your mind, our minds that become the battlefield of life? And all of this we reminded you that in those four words down there in verse 8, it says meditate on these things. This is key to us having control over our emotions, having control over life's issues. The theme, of course, joy for every situation, the theme of this entire book, all comes down to meditating upon the Word of God. Church, I don't know about you, but this time of the year, though I know we live in Southern California, but you know, when the temperature drops below 74, it's very, you know, we put wood in the fireplace, we open up all the windows. We might turn on the air conditioner, but we'll put wood in the fireplace and we'll put our jackets on and all just to get a little bit of a festive feeling. But I got to tell you, no matter what the temperature is, I love walking in the house when Lisa has got something either long-term in the oven or in the crock pot. I don't care what she's cooking, because I love the smell of the house. There's something about it. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just go buy a crock pot and throw a turkey or a chicken in that thing and leave the house and come back in. It's absolutely amazing. Why? What's the deal? There's a sense where that something has marinated, something has ruminated, percolated, and it's good. And it affects you. And in the same way, the things of the Spirit, when it's ruminating or marinating in your heart, and you meditate upon the promises of God, because church, we can read the promises of God even in our daily Bible. If we're in a hurry, we can read right over it and miss the promises of God that can only come when we are, as it were, in the crock pot of God's truth, letting it settle in and all of the spices and all of the tastes and seasonings of God's Word take effect in our life. If we're just spectator Christians, we're going to miss that. We're to meditate on these things because you and I are in a battle, and that battle is in the mind. And we saw these key things last time. In verse 8, we learn when it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true and noble and just. Of course, the word means meditate on these things. We saw that you and I are to run toward what's good. As believers, we are to depart from the evil stuff and run toward the good stuff. And the Spirit of God will show you. He'll tell you. He's always showing you and I. He's always telling us what is true, what is noble, what is just. That's God speaking to you. Well, Pastor, I don't know if I've ever heard God speak to me before. Yes, you have. If you've had a sinful thought, and you got busted. God was speaking to you. If you had a moment, this epiphany or this revelation of, hey, I should do this. I should go. I should think. I should speak. And it's something glorifying, true, noble, honest. That's God speaking to you. We all make it so difficult. God's never spoken to me. How do you know? I've never seen the sky part and thunder and lightning, and I've never heard the ground shake. Hey, listen, God, the Bible says, speaks in the still, small voice. I know we all want him to speak loud and all that stuff. That's because we have a lack of faith. It takes us marinating in his truth to let it settle in and become part of us. And God, listen, God begins to bring it up. He begins to bring it up, and we begin to live. And so now, jump in with me here. We pick it up where we left off. It's right here. Verse 8 continues on. Look at verse 8. It says, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report. Again, it means meditate on these things. Run away from the questionable things. So we run toward the good, and we run away from the questionable things. What are questionable type things? Well, things that are not pure, Christian. Listen, things that are not pure, things that are not lovely. Run away from them. They're questionable things. Whatever things are not of a good reputation or good report. These things are questionable. As a Christian, here's how we ought to live our lives safely. And I think you, I really believe what I'm about to say. Are you listening? Not that you need to listen to what I have to say. I believe what I'm going to tell you is completely biblical. It's just a big part of my life. If something is causing me to have to question it, there's a 99.9% chance it ain't good, and it's something for me to run away from. Did you hear me? Well, I just moved in with my boyfriend. He lives on that side of the house, and I live on that side of the house. We're just saving money because we're going to get married, and we're not doing anything. Listen, that may be totally true. You may not be doing anything. But let me tell you something. 100 feet at the other end of the hallway is your boyfriend, and he doesn't have to do anything because he's already doing everything in his mind. I can't believe you said that. How dare you judge me? Oh, put a sock in it. Listen, I'm a guy. Ladies, listen up. I'm a guy, and I'm going to confess for all these guys that are here right now. If the remote possibility exists, then it's already in our minds. That's us. In fact, there doesn't even have to be a remote possibility for it to be in our minds. Next week, all the men will be at some other church. But it's true. And the Bible says, listen, flee from all appearances of evil. You say, well, why should I do that? We're just trying to save money, or it's this way or that way. Because God blesses obedience. If it's questionable, if it causes questions, avoid it. Avoid it. Psalm 8, verse 3 says, when I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him? We need him to direct us. And if he can govern the heavens, he can govern our lives. So first of all, the word pure here means things that are, listen, not made pure, but things that are pure by their very nature. It implies or means things clean or pure in origin, or that being of God. The book of James says all good and perfect gifts or things come from God. God gives those good things. Thank God. You know, I had somebody this week, they wanted to argue with me about, you believe in a God of love, then why is all this stuff going on in the world? Why is all this stuff happening in the world? And I said, well, first of all, clearly by your passion about what you're talking about, you do not believe in God. It's clear by your argument, you don't believe in God. But I do believe in God. And the fact that God exists is not disproved or somehow made less because there's evil in the world. In fact, the presence of evil in the world shows you and I that I know what's good. And that just because there's evil perpetrated upon man to man in violence or death or mayhem doesn't exclude or remove the existence of God. It actually answers the very truth of the Bible. The world's so messed up because man has departed from God. Think of it. Things that are pure by very nature. That means it's come from God. Think of the things, meditate on the things that are pure. Now this changes things for us. Do you believe that God controls and steers the universe? Yes. Then if something is impure that flashes upon the TV screen or the radio waves or whatever, and the Christian will immediately be convicted. The Christian will hear in his heart, I'm snapping my fingers because I'm trying to communicate to you quickness or speed, and this isn't even fast enough. It's faster than lightning. God will say, turn it, change it. Here's some great examples that we are to emulate when it comes to practicing purity in our lives. Luke chapter 2, verse 15. Luke 2:15 says, so it was when the angels had gone away from them, Joseph and Mary, into heaven, and that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, that's Jesus, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. Look at verse 19. But Mary, look at your Bible carefully. But Mary kept, the word means stored up, reserved, treasured all these things and pondered. She mused upon, reviewed, rewound the sayings over and over and over again. And we come to that old English word that I said earlier today. You don't read this word much anymore. Ruminate. The word means she ruminated the announcement by the angels. To ruminate them in her heart. The very depths of her soul. What did Mary do at the announcement that she has just brought forth the Messiah of the world, the Christ by the Holy Spirit? And she's pondering these things. She's treasuring, storing these things. She's rewinding the accounts and playing Megan, rewinding the account. You ever seen something really good and you rewind it and you just get it down, get it down, get it down. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? Look at that. Fantastic. Repetition is the greatest teacher. Notice this, ladies and gentlemen, church family. Notice this. The angels did not reappear and then keep reappearing so Mary would ponder it and keep it as a treasure in her heart. Did they? They didn't come back. She saw it. She heard it. And she began to replay it over and over and over and over again in her mind. That's what the Christians do. We're to do that. And you and I have such a great challenge in our life because this world is constantly attacking our minds and our hearts to rob us of that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians 3, 1 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Be heavenly minded. Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above. This is going to take discipline. Not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, that's a reference to the rapture, by the way, not the second coming, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's John 14. And then lovely. Look at the word lovely. This word lovely in the original language means things that make for kindness. Listen. Things that make for friend-likeness, friendliness towards others, to cause others to feel and to believe that they are valued, because they are. They're valued. You and I as believers are to cause or to promote others having a sense of value. The Christian, listen, and this is stuff we need to repent of when we as Christians talk down at other people, put people down. Well, you don't walk like I walk, so you're a weirdo. You don't wear the same clothes that I have. You're a weirdo. You don't hang out with the same people that I hang out with. You're a weirdo. Can you imagine? It's evil. It's in the heart. We have to slay that kind of stuff. The world's brutal, if you haven't caught on. Lovely. One of Satan's great weapons is to destroy your thought process. He traffics in death. Isn't it awesome? He loves death, but Jesus came to crush death, to destroy it. Satan loves lies. He's the father of them. Aside from Satan's disdain for God himself, his hatred for human beings is off the charts. You know, the Bible says that God made you and I, a little lower than the angels. Did you know that? But don't leave. The Bible says God made humans a little lower than the angels. But if you keep reading your Bible, it says that after we are redeemed, when we are caught up to heaven, when we die, when we see the Lord, the Bible says then God crowns us in his redemption, and we turn around and we are greater than angels, and we'll judge them on the day of judgment. Did you know that? Did you read that in your Bible? That we as believers in heaven will judge angels. I don't know how that's going to go. I don't know how that's going to work. Who are we to judge angels? And angels right now are probably saying, are you kidding me? You knuckleheads, we've got to keep out of trouble all the time. You guys walk through intersections with your eyes closed. You're playing Pokemon, falling off of buildings, and we're rescuing you guys, and then you're going to turn around and judge us? That goes to show you just how much you and I are really going to be redeemed in the end. We'll have the mind of Christ, the Bible says. 1 Peter 3:1 says, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation for this verse. Listen carefully, and there's a reason for it. I'm going to set you up for something. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. That's tough. Just take a swallow, Then even if some refuse, that is the husbands, refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any word. Wow. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry. Notice, these things are not a sin. Just don't get caught up in this. Or beautiful clothing. You should clothe yourself instead with the beauty that comes from within. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. That doesn't mean you never talk. Don't think that. It means you have a soft, beautiful, attractive spirit about you, which is so precious to God, it says here in the Bible. Church, listen. The world... And I'm going to specifically direct this towards women, but all of us of humanity are included on this. But you guys, you've read your Bible. Satan hates mankind, and Satan hates, there's no doubt, Satan hates men.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 2C. Thanks for listening today, and now is the time to rest in what God has done, and His peace will be with you. Today was day one of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. How would you like to have Pastor Jack Hibbs at your fingertips 24 hours a day? Well, you kind of do, really, with the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. You can tap into everything that is Real Radio simply by getting the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. You'll get the Real Life TV broadcasts, the daily audio radio broadcasts, Pastor Jack's weekly devotions. Get the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. Just go to your app store and download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.